As you're sitting down, get your Bible out and go with me to the book of Hebrews. We're going to continue our study in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, looking at the same verse, Hebrews 4:12, that we looked at 2 weeks ago. Pastor Luke did a phenomenal job 2 weeks ago opening up the Word and talking to us about the importance of the Word of God. And if I can just remind you of some of the things that we talked about how the Word of God has life. And let's read it together. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. It says these words. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." There's so much in this one little verse. We could really spend weeks and months and even years just digging in and finding out what the word of the Lord is all about here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. Last week, we talked about the importance of the word of God. We saw the life, the power in the word. That the word of God is, if you remember, inspired. That God inspired men, holy men of God, to prophesy and to write and to record the word of God that was spoken to them. And so it was contained for thousands of years. But if God could inspire them to write it back then, then he could also inspire you and I to understand it here and now today. And that was a brilliant understanding from Pastor Luke last week and really from the Holy Spirit of God. And then we saw that not only is it inspired, but it is powerful. That the Word of God is powerful, that it's living, that it's active, that it has power. We found out that the Word of God outlasts everything. This is the eternal Word of the Lord. And no opposition, no man or woman, no philosophy, no school of thought is going to stop the Word of God. The Word of God outlasts everything. And finally, last week we learned that it is the truth. Not what you think, not what I think, not what a group of people got together and agreed on. No, this is about the Word of God. This is the plumb line for our life. This is what we are to line up our lives with. Why? Because it is the truth in the Word of God. This week, we're going to focus on some words out of Hebrews, the fourth chapter, verse number 12, and transition us into another understanding of the Word of God. Let's take a look at the verse again. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12 says these words. It says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Today I want to talk to you about the piercing word of God. So we saw in the language of Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, this is a piercing word of God. It uses words like sharp, sharper than any double-edged sword. See, this is no natural thing. This is a spiritual thing. And no matter how sharp you could get something here on the earth, grinding it down and refining it and smoothing it out and making that sharp, listen, the Spirit cuts even deeper, cuts even through that. This is a sharp word of God. It's a powerful word of God. And it pierces. It cuts through. It breaks through things in our life. Anything that comes against us, any opposition, anything that we could line up with it, it will cut right through that. It will break through that. It will pierce that. And this is a piercing word of God. You know in the Bible that it talks about the word as being a seed. Oftentimes, if you look at a natural seed, there is a point on that seed. What is that for? Well, if it falls off of a plant or if it falls out of a tree or something like that, it will hit that ground and it will pierce that ground and dig in. Why? So that it can take root and then eventually produce fruit. The same thing with the Word of God. That as we hear the Word of God, as we read the Word of God, as we speak the Word of God, that it's like that seed that pierces our hearts. It drops in there and it gets deep down on the inside of us. It pierces into our lives. It takes root and then it produces fruit in our lives. Can you say amen? We also see that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. Really, when you look at those words and you start to study it out, you find that it talks about it being a double-mouthed sword. It's kind of an interesting statement. What is he talking about? We think about double mouth. We think about people talking out of two sides of their mouth. That really means hypocrisy. I mean, they're saying one thing on one side and another thing on the other side. That's not what this is talking about. Let's look at, in the book of Revelation, I'll just put it up on the overheads for you. Speaking of Jesus, talks about the Apostle John is in the Spirit and he has a vision and there Jesus appears to him. And he sees Jesus in his resurrected body as he is now. And he sees him and he says this in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 16, describing Jesus. It says, "He had in his right hand seven stars." Look at this. "Out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength." You say, "Well, Pastor, that's great, but you still haven't explained what two mouth means to me." Well, let's get there, okay? See, Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. And God spoke, and the Word of God proceeded and went forth. That's one mouth. But you and I here on earth side, we have to also speak the word of God. We declare the word of God. And when we do, we are that second witness. We are that second mouth. We come into agreement with the things of God. And when we speak what God has already spoken, now it is two-edged, it is double-edged, it is two-mouthed. And now the word of God pierces through and cuts through. Are you listening today? And so if we're going to have an understanding of the piercing word of God, how it operates and how it works in our life, I'm going to make a statement today. I'm going to start a sentence, and we'll complete that sentence three times today. So if you're taking notes, you can kind of write it down and do a little one, two, three, that sort of a thing, and just get a hold of this. Or you can write the sentence out three times if you like doing that as well. But here's the beginning of the sentence. When we use the word, it is. And when I say use the word, I really mean speaking it loud out of our mouth. I really am talking about coming into agreement with the word of God that God has already spoken, becoming that second mouth, that second witness that's declaring the word of God. So the piercing word of God, when we use the word, it is, number one today, the instrument of breakthrough. When you look at the piercing word of God, number one, when we use the word, it is the instrument of breakthrough. Think about this. If you are going to pierce your skin, you are going to have to break through layers of skin to get down underneath and find out what's down there. If you're going to go into the earth with a seed, right, you have to break through those layers of topsoil in order to get down. If you're going to mine for gold, you're going to have to break through rocks and all sorts of dirt. You're going to have to dig through a lot of stuff. You are going to have to break through in order to get to where you want to go and to obtain what you need in your life. And therefore, you and I, if we're going to have any sort of breakthrough in our lives, we are going to have to use the word as the instrument of breakthrough. It is the tool that we use in order to get to our breakthrough. And don't tell me you don't want breakthrough in this place. Each and every one of us in our lives have things that we want to get to, have things that we're going through, have things that have tried to stop us, to hold us back, circumstances and people and opposition and life and all sorts of stuff happens. And therefore, we have got to get to a breakthrough. There are things that we want to do, places we want to go, things that we want to do in our lifetime, things that we see in the Word of God that we want to have. And therefore, if we're going to get to that breakthrough, we've got to speak the Word. Many times, people are waiting on a breakthrough they could have. Let me say that again. Many times, people are waiting on a breakthrough they could have. What do I mean by that? They just need to break through with the Word of God. The Word of God is the instrument of breakthrough. It is what pierces through. It is what makes a difference. It is the instrument in the hands of God. Let me give you some illustrations of this from the Word. Sometimes people feel like they can't break through in the area of sin. Oh yeah, you got saved, born again, God touched your life, things were going good, things were going great, but how many of you, like Pastor Dan, after a while of being saved, all of a sudden that old sin raised up its ugly head and you thought, I thought you were gone. I thought we were done. You know, I had broken off this relationship. What are you doing back here? And all of a sudden, here you are, you find it, and you feel bad about it. You repent before the Lord, and you know, you're going on. And then after a little while, here it comes again. What, you know, what's going on here? And so you continue in life, and you continue to go through the process of repentance before God. And yet, here's this thing, and it feels like you're in bondage to this thing. Even though you're a Christian, even though you're reading the Word, even though you're going to church, even though you're studying about it, you're trying to find out about it, what makes the difference? What makes the difference is that if you're going to break through in the area of sin, you've got to apply the Word of God. Let me show it to you in the Bible, Psalms, book of Psalms. Turn there with me. I'm going to kind of bounce around in the Old Testament and back to the New Testament a little bit today. But in the book of Psalms, if you hit Job, come back. Psalm 119. And Psalms 119. Really, the whole psalm is about the excellency of the Word of God, and it'll bless you just reading it. It's a long psalm, longest psalm in the Bible, longest chapter in the Bible. Well worth the time. But we're going to take a look at one verse today, Psalms 119, verse number 11. Psalms 119, verse number 11 says this. It says, "Your word have I hidden in my heart." Why? "That I might not sin against you." Your word have I hidden in my heart. Why? "That I might not sin against you. If you want to get breakthrough in the area of sin or any bondage in your life, you are going to have to apply the Word of God and hide that Word in your heart. Why? Because it is the instrument of breakthrough. And when you put the Word of God in your heart, it will keep you from sin. We were talking about this in between the services, and Pastor Jim reminded me of a movie where there was a man who was in prison. He was in a cell. There was no way that you could break out. No one had ever broken out of this prison. And this man, through different deals and different things, was trading around, and you know, kind of the underground stuff was going on. And eventually he obtained just a teeny little tool that was used for carving, used for art, and used for sculpture and that sort of a thing. And he got a hold of that instrument, and there in his prison cell, he started to chip away at the wall. And he put a poster up over that place where he was chipping away so that no one would know what he was doing. And every night he would roll that poster back and he would chip away. And he would use that little tool and he would just kind of chip, 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 chip. And every day he would take those things and he would kind of hide them in his pant pocket, you know. And then when he got out to the yard, he would kind of kick that dirt out little by little. And after a while, he had broken through. He had made it to the other side, and now he had opened up a hole where he could actually be released from his prison cell, and he was the only one who was able to break out and stay out because he had that little tool in his hand. Sometimes you and I, in our battle against sin, we are in bondage and we're in a prison. And here we are, and we're saying, I don't understand, how does this little tool apply to my life? And yet God says, I want you to get a hold of a scripture. I want you to start to declare the Word of God that I've already declared over your life. And as you do, you take that one little scripture, that little tool in your life, and you start to chip away, and you start to go after it, and you start to get after it, and you keep a picture in front of you of hope, and eventually you're going to break through, and you will be free in every area of your life as you apply the Word. It's the instrument of breakthrough. How about another one? Well, in the area of our health, sometimes people say, I'm struggling with my health. I can't get over this health issue. I can't get over this health problem. Listen, it's time to apply the Word of God for your breakthrough in the area of your health. Many times people are in bondages and having problems that they could have breakthrough, and they're waiting on something that they could have. You're there in Psalm 119. Take a look at Psalms 107, a couple pages back. Psalms 107. We're going to take a look at verse number 20, but verse number 19 describes the condition of the people and saying that they cried out to the Lord in their troubles and he saved them out of their distresses. Now let's see how God did this. Psalms 107, verse number 20 says this, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. See, if you are looking for healing, if you are looking for deliverance, it's time to get a hold of the Word of God and start to cut through, start to break through in the area of your health. It's time to start going after it. And every time you feel those symptoms coming back, every time you feel that thing coming back on you, you start to declare the Word of God, start to declare the promise of God. I thank God for our doctors. I thank God for modern medicine, that sort of thing. It's helped a lot of people and done a lot of good. And I'm not telling you not to listen to your doctor. I'm not telling you not to take your medication, but I'm telling you additionally, first and foremost, the priority is to declare the Word of God. God's Word is His medicine. Therefore, you apply that first in the spiritual, and you'll see breakthrough in the natural. Okay, what about this? Sometimes people are saying, I just can't succeed in life. It just seems like I'm always behind, never have enough. I just can't prosper in my life. I just can't get there. I can't do it. It just seems like the whole world is against me, just keeping me down. Well, listen, the Word of God, when used in your life, will give you breakthrough for success. Let me show it to you. You're there in the Psalms. Turn to the sixth book of the Bible, the book of Joshua. If you start at Genesis, go through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then the next book there is Joshua. Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua was the leader that came up after Moses. God raised him up to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. Joshua had seen many great things, miracles, signs, and wonders. He had seen great deliverance by the Lord. He'd seen battles won. Now here he is. All of this had been under the leadership of Moses. And so here he is taking on a huge responsibility. I mean, can you imagine the leadership of a nation taking them into a conquest of a land that has fortified cities and giants in it? So here he is facing these things in his life, and he's about ready to go into the promised land, and he wants to succeed. And I get the picture of God just sitting him down and talking to him, just ministering to him. God is building him up. God is encouraging him before he sends him into the land. And take a look at what God says to Joshua. Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 8. Starts out and he says, this book of the law. Now stop right there and look up at me for a second. You got to remember at this time, the only inspired word of God that Joshua had was the first five books of the Bible. Because Moses had written down what God had told him to write down, and so therefore Moses penned those first five books. And that was called the book of the law. And so God says to Joshua, this book of the law. See, the word that he had was more than enough for every need. God says, this book of the law, what? Shall not depart from your mouth. There's that second witness. God had already spoken it, but now he's saying, Joshua, I want you to be that double edge. I want you to be that second mouth. Come in agreement by speaking it. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You are to declare the word of God, Joshua. You are to speak it out of your mouth, Joshua. Look at what he says. But you shall meditate. Now, sometimes we see a word like meditate and we say, well, is that like that weird new age transcendental meditation where you and you do all that kind of... No, listen, that's foolishness. It's not what this is talking about. This is talking about you shall meditate. Really, a word that we could understand to translate this word would be to mutter, right? To speak it. See, it shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it. You shall mutter it. You shall speak it. Say it over and over again. The picture that we get is a cow chewing on its cud, right? Here's a cow that goes and gets a bite of grass, right, and starts to chew it, right? Starts to bite after it, swallows it down. You don't see the cow take another bite of the grass, but all of a sudden, the cow's chewing again. What happened? He brought it back up and started to chew. That's kind of gross, but that's what they do, all right? It's a cow. And the cow will swallow it back down. After a while, it brings it back up and starts to chew on it again. What's it doing? It's getting every bit of nutrition, every bit of what it can out of this grass that it's eating. It's drawing on it. It's pulling out of it what it needs. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it. You shall chew on it. You shall mutter it. You shall bring it up over and over again. How often? Day and night. Day and night. See, sometimes you get a hold of a promise of God, you read it maybe in the morning, you say, that's for me. That verse is for me. And you declare it there in the morning. About partway through the day, you get to work. Boss starts getting on your case. Coworker starts talking about you behind your back. You start to wonder about the bills. You realize it's the first, and hey, what am I going to do? My goodness, I got all this stuff stacked up again. What do? You bring that promise back up. You start to chew on it again. You start to speak it to yourself. Start to say it so that you can hear it. Middle of the night, you go to bed, you wake up in the middle of the night, and that issue is back on your mind. You bring it back up. Just like we were saying, sometimes people who are dealing with physical sicknesses, they declare the word of God, they get some free, I feel better, oh my goodness, the pain is gone, I can move again. And then all of a sudden, oh, whoa, there it is again. What do? You start to declare the promise of God again. You bring it back up again. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. See, when we get the word of God in our heart, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. When you get the word of God in your heart, it starts to work its way out into your life, into your actions. Let's take a look at the rest of the verse, Joshua 1:8. For then you will make your way prosperous. Now hold on, wait a second. We've been waiting for God to make us prosperous. We've been waiting for God to do something. We've been waiting for God to just rain dewdrops from heaven on us or have a goose fly over and lay a golden egg or something like that. Why hasn't the tree sprouted out in the backyard that has the golden apples? Listen, God is saying, I'm not going to do any of that stuff. I've already given you everything you need. Jesus went to the cross. He was resurrected. I sent you the Spirit of God and you have my word. You've got what you need. You've got what it takes. Then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. See, God's not interested in you just having success. He wants you to have good success. God doesn't give you average worldly success. No, that's not what this is about. This is about you having godly success because good is what God says. Therefore, God says when you use the word and you apply the word of God, then you will get the godly result. Then you will have good success. Are you listening today? When we use the word, it is the instrument of breakthrough, number one thing for today. Secondly, for today, when we use the word, it is, number two, a sword. When we use the word, number two, it is a sword. Now, we've heard some great teaching in this church from our pulpit about the word of God and the sword of the word of God and the picture of it. And we find it in Ephesians chapter 6. Turn there with me, back to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter number 6. We find The spiritual armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, talking about we don't have a physical fight that we're in. This is a spiritual battle that we're in. You are to put on your spiritual armor and take your stand. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. You are to wrap yourself, gird yourself about, hold yourself together with truth, right? You are to put on the preparation of the gospel of peace on your feet. Put your shoes on. Get ready to run with the gospel. Get ready to go tell someone about Jesus. You are to have that helmet of salvation. Take up the shield of faith. Extinguish those darts of the enemy that he's throwing at you that are fiery, right? He's shooting these flaming arrows at you all the time. You raise up that shield. Lift up that shield, church. But look at what it says in Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 17 and verse number 18. It says, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse number 18. There is no period in between these two verses. I want you to notice, it was not written in chapter and verse. This was a letter. This was one complete thought. And sometimes we say, well, I've got my spiritual armor on, and I'm standing, but what do I do? We don't know what to do. But God didn't want you to get your armor on and go sit on the couch, channel surf. That's not what you do in armor. God didn't want you to get your armor on and just go hang out by the pool, relax. No, you are in a war. This is a spiritual battle. There is opposition. And the very fact that you are made in the image of God means that the devil hates your guts. And the devil is coming against you. He is all up in your business. If I could say it in San Bernardino terms for some of y'all. Hello. But he says, I want you to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse number 18, the first word is praying. With all prayer and supplication. Prayer is talking to God. And so God says, if you are going to take up your spiritual armor and you're going to go fight a battle, I want you to start to declare the word of God in your prayers. Not just asking God for things, but to also declare the word of God. Take up that sword of the Spirit in your prayer time and start to raise it up and start to declare the word of God. And listen, God's already spoken it. Now you're coming into agreement. You are that second witness on the earth. You are that second mouth. And now when you declare the word of God, that sword of the Spirit goes forth. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Listen, the enemy is present. Draw your sword. In fact, I don't have it up on the overheads for you, but Jeremiah chapter number 48, verse 10, the second part of that says, cursed is everyone who keeps his sword from blood. God wants us to draw our sword and enter the battle. In the book of Psalms 149, verse number 6, I'll put it up on the overheads for you. It says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. See, this is not something that we are to treat casually. This is not something that is just a book that's supposed to collect dust on your nightstand or that you wake up and you pat in the morning and say, I'm very glad that I... No, you are to pick this thing up, get it in your heart, and then you are to declare it out of your mouth and use your sword. In fact, a brilliant understanding of this sword of the Spirit, when the Apostle Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he talked about this sword of the Spirit. Now, we think sword, we just think sword, right? We think maybe broadsword, you know, like Mel Gibson had playing William Wallace in Braveheart, right? This big two-handed sword that's as tall as he is, right? And he can just, right, and just take out the enemy. Not the kind of sword he's talking about. Sometimes we think about a sword, we think about Excalibur, right? This is the word of God. This is Excalibur. Only a king could pick this up, right? And it's this massive sword that they take out of the rock. And it's this huge sword, right? And it's got supernatural power. Not what he's talking about. Not what he's talking about. In fact, he used a very specific word called makira. Now, the makira was a short little sword, probably maybe about this long, little teeny tiny, kind of like a dagger, we would say. But really, it was a short sword, and it was used for close combat. And the picture that he was using was from the Roman army. Now, the Romans, these guys were trained killers. Their armies were trained for battle. And they had a very specific way of going into battle. See, the Romans, even though they may have had shields and they had spears and they had bow and arrow, all that, they didn't want to use that. No, they wanted to use the makira. That was their goal in war, was that they were wanting to get close enough to the enemy to get in close range and pull out that sword and use that sword. That was what the Romans wanted to do. They didn't want to go up against a spear. They didn't want to go up against bow and arrow. They didn't want to go up against any long range or long sword. They wanted to get up close and personal in the battle. Now remember, we already said the devil's all up in your business. Devil's already right here in your face. The devil is at close range. And so you don't have time to pull out the long sword and sweep it across. You don't have time to pull out your bow and arrow. No, that's not what this is about. The devil is present, the enemy is at hand, and it's time to take out that little dagger. And see, what the Romans would do is they would get in close proximity, and they knew that if they could confuse their enemy and they could get up and just come up and take that makir, that little sword, and they could just stab, and then they would draw back, right? So they wouldn't get hurt back. And then they would run up and they would stab again, and then they would draw back. And every time they would come in for a stab, they may only get like 1 inch, 2 inches into the person that they were fighting. But they knew that 1 or 2 inches could prove fatal. All they had to do was break through that chainmail. They had to use their makira, their little short dagger-like sword, and they had to just get that quick little word, that little breakthrough, and they could defeat their enemy. Isn't that what Jesus did? You remember Jesus being tempted by Satan there in the wilderness. And the devil comes up and tempts him. Oh, if you're the Son of God, make these stones. What does Jesus do? Devil, it is written. He pulls out that little word, that little one little tiny scripture that we find in the Word of God. He breaks out that short little sword. Bam! And he hits the devil with it. Devil comes back again. He pulls it out. It is written. Bam! And he gets him again. Devil comes up once again and he pulls it out. Away from me, Satan, for it is written. Bang! One little verse and sends the devil running. Hallelujah. You and I, when it comes to our fight, we are to take up the sword of the Spirit. God will give you a word of God. Maybe it's just a little short, little teeny tiny word. Maybe all you can remember is God is able. That's all you got. God is able. Or maybe it's in Him. I am in Him. I have value in Him. I am in Jesus. Sometimes all you got is just one little short phrase. That's all you need. That's your short little sword, your makir that you break out and you send the enemy running. When we use the word, a couple of things we looked at already. When we use the word, it is number one, the instrument of breakthrough. Number two, it is a sword. And number three, last thing for today, when we use the word, it is like a scalpel. When we use the word, it is like a scalpel. Now, we've already talked about the double-edged sword being two-mouthed, right? Already talked about that understanding, God speaking that we speak it. But not only does that word go out, but there's another edge that comes in. You and I have to realize and understand that the Word of God, even though we may send it out, even though we can overcome, even though we can send it into circumstances, we can send it into areas of our life, we can send it into the enemy and send him running, that same word will also pierce us. Just like the prophet said to Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul also. We have to be wise enough to understand that this word will come in like a surgeon's scalpel. And God will do heart surgery on you and I. God wants to get on the inside of you, and God wants to get His Word deep down on the inside of you, and God wants to change us and rearrange us and make us and conform us into the image of His Son. And the way that He does that, the instrument that He uses, is the Word of God. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, in the Message paraphrase, it says this. It says, God means what He says. What He says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it, no matter what. Amen. Oftentimes when you speak the word of God, when you come into church, you hear the word of God, it cuts you deep into your heart. Can't get away from it. Can't get it off your mind. Can't get it. It's ringing in your ears, and you just know that the Word of God. See, oftentimes people come to me and say, Pastor, you know what? I heard God say this. It was something that wasn't even said from the pulpit area of this church. People have started ministries. People have done things in this church because they heard the Word of God, and it wasn't even from what was said in the pulpit. What's going on? The Word of God is cutting through. The Word of God is getting on the inside of people. The Word of God is now piercing and penetrating and getting in and taking root and then bearing fruit in their lives. In fact, on the day of Pentecost, we see, if you want to turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 2, right after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter number 2, we see a scene that the church is birthed, literally on the steps to the temple. Here, the people are praying in the upper room. Spirit of God blows into the room. Tongues of fire are divided amongst them. They start to speak in other tongues. They run out and declare the praises of God and the glory and goodness of God. As they're running out, people are hearing the high praise of God in their own language. People start to mock. A crowd gathers and they say, all these men are drunk. Peter gets up and he preaches the first sermon there on the day of Pentecost. And he starts to talk to them. He says, these guys aren't drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, you guys. Come on. People get drunk at night. This is not what's going on. This, what you see, is what was spoken by the prophet. And he starts to declare the word of God that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. What's he doing? He's breaking open the word of God. He's using that instrument. He's breaking out that tool of breakthrough, breaking out that sword, and starts to declare the word of God. And then he starts to talk about what King David had said. Starts to talk about how Jesus Christ was crucified. Take a look at what happens. The people are here listening. They hear the very first sermon. They hear the word of God being preached, word of God being spoken. And in Acts chapter number 2, verse number 37, Acts chapter 2, verse number 37, it says, now when they, who's they? Well, the people that were listening to the sermon. When they heard this, heard what? Heard the word of God. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, you just cut me open. Now, can you sew me back up? Oftentimes when you come to church, you feel like that. My goodness. Wait a second. Did the preacher have my house bugged? He just read my mail. People are shrinking down in their seats, trying not to move so that no one will notice them. He's talking about me right now. Don't know if you all know, but he's talking about me. And what's going on? The word of God is going forth, and it's like that surgeon's scalpel, and it's opening up. In fact, the picture that we get in the book of Hebrews, because in Hebrews chapter 5, it starts to talk about the high priest, Jesus being our high priest. The real picture is of the high priest taking that knife, that instrument that he used to slay the sacrifice, and then to cut the sacrifice into pieces and arrange and order it there on the altar. When that priest would cut that sacrifice, it would open up and expose what was on the inside of that animal. And it would cut through, and as he would cut through, like one of the things you see is that the shoulder of the animal was laid up for the priest oftentimes in the offerings. And so he would cut it and he would arrange it there on the altar. And so as he would cut it, it would cut through bone and marrow and show what was on the inside. The same way the word of God, when it gets into our hearts, sometimes we say, what's going on in here? Is that just me or is that God? What's going to determine that for your life is the word of God. Because as the word of God gets in, it is a discerner of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. It opens it up. It exposes it. Just like the high priest cutting that animal exposed and showed the bone and the marrow. Now here comes the word of God discerning between soul and spirit. It will show you if it's just you or if it's really God, if it lines up with the word of God. Love what Charles Spurgeon, he was called the Prince of Preachers back in the 1800s in England. He preached a message called the Sword of the Spirit. Thought it applied to you and I today. He says these words. He says, the word of God in the hand of the Spirit wounds very terribly. It makes the heart of man to bleed. Do you not remember, some of you, when you used to be gashed with this sword Sunday after Sunday? Were you not cut to the heart by it so as to be angry with it? You almost made up your mind to turn away from hearing the gospel again. That sword pursued you and pierced you in the secrets of your soul and made you bleed in 1,000 places. At last you were pricked to the heart, and then the execution was done indeed. That wound was deadly, and none but he that killed could make you alive. Do you recollect how after this your sins were slain one after another? Their necks were laid on the block and the Spirit acted as executioner with his sword. After that, your fears and doubts and despair and unbelief were also hacked to pieces by this same sword. The word gave you life, but it was at first a great killer. Your soul was like a battlefield after a great fight under the first operations of the divine Spirit, whose sword returns not empty from the conflict. Word of God is that surgeon's scalpel that gets deep into the recesses of your heart, into the inmost places, and opens you up and exposes what's going on the inside. And then it's like that seed that takes root on the inside of you and then bears fruit in your life. What did we learn today about the piercing word of God? Number one, we learned that when we use the word, it is the instrument of breakthrough. Don't wait for breakthrough. Get a hold of your breakthrough. Start to declare the promise of God. Start to declare the word of God. Get your breakthrough. When we use the word, it's number two, a sword. It is the sword of the Spirit that we are to declare. We are to come in and use that short sword, even if all you got is one word, man. God is able. Even if you got one word, one little scripture that you're standing on, that is more than enough to send the enemy and the opposition packing. And finally, when we use the word, it is like a scalpel. It gets deep down on the inside of your heart, exposes things, opens things up, does surgery on your heart, and then it puts you back together the right way again. If you got something from the word of the Lord today, come on, let's give God a great big praise. Hallelujah! Woo! Glory to God. I'm so excited I get to hear that.